This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. Good to be home.
Yeah, with all your loot that you won from winning the convict pairs. Do the winners get a ball and chain put around their legs?
No, pretty hard. You know, you've got 9 sessions that happen over the week, and you just got to sort of remain consistent, I guess. Tell you one thing, William and I were the only ones playing Akol in the room.
That's not unusual, I think, in Australia. You're not too many Akol players, only certain little patches of Australia that play Akol. We'll probably get some emails in now telling me all the people that play Akol over there, but you don't seem to run into too many of these days. Becoming an endangered species over there.
And I didn't realise that Tasmania was so rich in history, you know, which is why Greg called it the convict pairs. Yeah, there's tours that take you to a whole lot of places that show about the history, and some of it's quite amazing.
And you ran into a couple of our listeners from Tasmania, or were they from Tasmania?
Yeah. We've got our friend John, who are
John Grosvenor, he didn't show up. He hadn't been well, so unfortunately you never got to see him.
Hugh came down to the club and he was playing an online event. Had a good catch up with Hugh.
Talking about Hugh Grosvenor, that's his brother, isn't it?
Yep.
For anybody who's listening, Hugh Grosvenor will be a well-known name to people from Australia.
He comes to New Zealand quite a bit to play. He's a regular at our Congress.
With his partner, Tania Lloyd, who's a good Kiwi girl.
So we went and actually played at the TBA club rooms on Thursday night. It was actually hosted by the Hobart Bridge Club, who don't have a premise, and they rent out the Tasman Bridge Association's club rooms to host their own nights. That was pretty cool. And guess what?
What? You won?
No, we didn't. But they have a bottle of plonk opener. You can help yourself, and they had cake and chips. It's all very pleasant.
So what did you score?
Oh, not much. It was under 50.
So if it wasn't, you know, drinking too much plonk that did you in, was it eating too much cake or was it eating too many chips?
It was too much cake.
Sounds like a great time. Is that event held every year over there or?
No, what Finesse Bridge Club do is that they pick destinations where they're going to take a tour, and this tour actually had 40 people on it. And so they just go to a place. It was pretty cool.
And they always play bridge there?
Not at a bridge club. We stayed at the Rest Point Casino. And what a big place that is. It's amazing. It's got 9 restaurants and it's got live shows. We were in the Wellington room. And on the last day of play, on the Saturday, the room next to us was called the Boardwalk Gallery. That hosted a poker tournament. It was the quarterfinals for the region. So they had a full house downstairs playing cards. Poker's a lot more noisier than bridge.
You weren't tempted?
Oh, I don't even know how to play. The next
tour. Anybody's interested, they can just Google Finesse Bridge Club and see when their next event's going to be held.
They have a holiday program, so just have a look at it. There's one that's going to Bangkok and into Thailand in June next year for 2 weeks. I'm thinking that I might go on. I don't know. That's one that I'm interested in. And then after that, they fly to Milan and do 2 weeks in Italy on a river cruise. On a sea cruise. So you get about.
Will there be any bridge on that one?
Yeah, there will be. Not as much as now, but they'll do more. William and the girls just came back from a month in South Africa. They said that cruise was absolutely amazing.
For anybody who's listening and don't know what she's talking about, this is Mariana's friend Willem, who's from Cairns.
William.
And he kindly took us for a trip when we were over at the Barrier Reef Congress a couple of years ago.
Actually, that's 2 years, not next year, but 26, it goes back to Cairns, the Barrier Reef one. Let's have a look what's been happening with these IPs.
So they're not called the Interprovincials anymore.
Oh,
they've changed the name.
The Regionals.
The Regional Championships. Of course, the whole thing is named after Dougal MacLean. Great guy, Dougal, and well remembered by lots of bridge players still. The Dougal MacLean this year for the best province with best results over the 4 events went to Canterbury, who won it by a long way. They ended up with 40 points, second equal on 29 points were Otago, Southland, Wellington. They were second equal. But so the way it works is if you win one of the categories, you get 13 points and then it drops down. I can't remember how it all goes. If you finish on the bottom, you don't get any points. I think if you get 60, you get 2 points, and 50, you get 4 points, and works its way up, and the winners get 13. So
Okay.
Canterbury actually won two categories, both the women's and the intermediates, third in the seniors and fourth in the opens. Pretty
Oh,
good
that's
all-round
tidy, isn't it?
effort. Richard Solomon's done all my work for me because he's done a little bit of a write-up on NZ Bridge, and he's even got a photo of John Skipper accepting the Dougal MacLean Trophy from Alan Morris. Noticed, he said the women's competition was curious with Canterbury starting really well because it's a double round robin. You play every province twice. In the second round robin, they only had one win, and yet they still won easily by 15 VPs. So they lost five times in the second round robin out of six and still managed to win easily. They must have had a great first half.
What about Waikato Bays? How did we
One.
fare?
They sort of looked like they might get third for a while, but they faded a little at the end and wound up fourth on 26 points. So the different categories, the open category was won by Wellington, the women's category was won by Canterbury, the seniors was won by Otago, Waikato Bays coming in second in the seniors, pretty good effort. That was excellent. So second in the open were Auckland, second in the women's was CD, and in intermediates, Canterbury won with Otago Southland coming in second.
So when did play actually start? It's a 3-day
They
event, is
started on
it?
Saturday. They placed, went through to Sunday, and then this morning they played the last, I'm going to say, two matches.
And then everybody heads home.
Yeah, sounds like pretty well run, pretty successful weekend. And the Dougal MacLeans run and one for another year. Well done, Canterbury.
Wellington, from memory, seemed to have a deep fingernails into that trophy for a couple of years,
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Wellington, one stage, that's where Dougal MacLean was from. They seemed to have a mortgage on the event for a little while, but second equal was their lot this year.
That's very good.
So next weekend coming up, the trials are going to be held for the New Zealand Open team. There are four teams trialing.
And have they named
So
them yet?
yeah, they have.
So held in Auckland, the 6th to the 9th of December. Events a knockout, qualifying 6 times 16 boards. Okay, over 2 days. And then the final again repeated over 2 days. So Newell, Reid, Bach and Jacob come up against Yan, Fraser, Hosking, Zing and Pan. Malcolm Mayer's team comes in with Mace Berrington and Tufnell. And the fourth team, so that must be Stephen, Henry, Jack James, Wayne Burrows, and what's the chap Crombie's name?
Dwayne Crombie. It's probably fair to say that the Newell Reid Bach Jacob team would be the favourites, but favourites don't always win, as you know. So it'll be interesting to see how they go. They're playing a pretty young team, Yan, Fraser, Hosking, Zing, and Pans. Anything could happen there.
That would be Lucinda and Tim playing with Jeremy, FH, and is that
Zachary.
Zachary? Yeah, very cool. Just on a side, is this all going to be on BBO or?
I believe it is going to be on BBO. I certainly hope so, because I'll be watching.
Actually, I'm going off to play in the Rotorua Christmas tournament.
Oh, okay. Yep. There'll be plenty of players there. You'll have lots of company.
So that's on the 7th of December. And the last time I looked, they had huge numbers. I'll just
Yep,
do a
they
quick
all
count. They have 61 pairs.
30 tables.
It's a bit big, isn't it?
You better hope they save you a table. They've got
Yeah.
huge club rooms at Rotorua. They'll fit them in easily.
Sounds really good. Be awesome. And it's dress up, and I'm playing with Cherie Barton. Rumour has it, she's going as a Christmas tree, and I'm going as a Christmas present
Everybody, if
instead
you're
of.
playing the Rotorua Christmas, look out for them.
Anyway, I've got some people. I've now remembered the names of the people.
People that you met when you were in jail?
So after playing, this lady came up to me and she said, "Do you do a podcast?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And she said, "My voice sounded familiar, I should say." And so she was looking up on her phone, and there it is, the Bridge Zone, you and me. And she said, "I thought it was you." It took her a day and a half to come up and ask me. So, hello to Marty Hogarth. Thanks for listening. And tell your friends. And also a big hello to these lovely ladies that I met in Malaysia, and also they came to this event, and that's Judith Cross and Leanne Goodies. Like Barry said, have a look. Greg Eustace and Gay Allen, they do really good bridge tours, and you might want to trip around and see the world as well. So, hello, girls. Nice to see you, and I might see you again soon. Don't know. But hey, I've got a book, Match Point Tricks. This is by Ib Axelsen and Willy Dam, both Danish.
What have you learned? Have you read anything in there that you can share with our listeners?
Well, on these ones here, it has the problems. There is something that I can share with listeners. When you're reading the introduction, it says the techniques encountered in these books are certainly useful at match points. You must always be on the lookout for over tricks. You'll never become a winner unless you fight hard, hand after hand, to score 10, 20, or 30 points more than the rest of the field. But your chances for a better score must always be weighed against the risk. The book challenges to play for over tricks on occasion, even at the risk of going down in your contract, to find the best chance for an over trick, to spot the chances for over tricks that no one else can see, to use logic and technique, but especially imagination and psychology. You will often be surprised by an unusual possibility that might produce an over trick, or the way in which it can be made to happen. So it gives you some problems and you've got to try and solve them. What do you reckon?
Look, they're absolutely right. If you're in a contract where the finesse is favorite to work, and you think that you're in three no trumps or either in four spades, and it's a pretty normal sort of a contract, you can make an over trick if this finesse works, but you might go down if it doesn't. But you're pretty confident it's going to work because the hand on your left showed points or something or
Yep.
whatever, for whatever reason you think, then you should take that finesse, even if it means you might go down. Now, I know that a lot of my listeners, they'll be closing their ears to this. They won't want to know. To win a pairs event, that sort of stuff you have to get up to. That's pairs for you. It's a different game altogether from playing teams. If you were playing in a teams event and you're in a game and you see enough tricks to make it, you wouldn't consider taking this finesse. If there was any risk at all, you'd just take your tricks, claim your contract, and move on. But pairs, that over trick is gold.
It is gold,
Turns
isn't
an average board into a very good board.
But I'm wondering how many people actually look for a problem. When I was talking to Pam while you were overseas, we were talking about the Bridge Master on BBO. She said it's awesome. Then it's always got a problem on it and you have to solve the problem. But I'm wondering how many people, when they're playing pairs, actually look for a problem. Or they just think, oh, great. Four hearts, right, we've got an eight card fit, rah, 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 I'm going to make 10. I wonder if they actually think about, actually, if I maybe think a little bit harder, I could make 11.
Talking about looking for a problem, it's more like there's an old saying that if you're in a really great contract, just take a look at the two hands and think of all the things that could go wrong and think, if the trumps break 4-1, am I going to be able to cope with that? How will I get on? That sort of stuff. Or do I need to rough something through? What do I need to do? If the cards don't lie well for me. But if you're in a contract that's not very good at all, and you figure out you're getting a bad result, just try and think, well, is there a layout where this thing could actually make? So you don't start looking for problems, you start looking for a miracle. Is there any way this can make? You have to try and think of a reasonable layout you need the King of Diamonds on side and you need the Hearts 3-3 and you need a good trump, blah, blah. You need all these things to happen. Well, sometimes you just have to play for that. If you're in a great contract, which looks like it's always going to make, think of all the things that could go wrong.
You remember when we were talking to Zia, and Zia said he's got those three heats. Heat three is when you can't seem to do a thing right, and you should have stayed in bed.
I remember him saying that. We've all been there.
And the second one was, things are just ticking along, you're not doing anything special. And then the last heat is the top heat where everything you touch is gold. It doesn't matter what's happening, everything just comes smelling roses. Well, we actually had one of those gold sessions, Barry. It was on Thursday, and it didn't matter what we did, it was pretty cool. You know about these stiff kings? In one hand, I kid you not. So I was declarer. I can't remember what the contract was, but we're in a game contract. The king's missing trumps and on an offsuit. Anyway, I decided to play my ace and the king comes down. I was like, oh, that's good. And then I was in my hand and then I played up to the ace of trumps and the lady on my left, she said, it's your birthday and down comes the king of trumps as well. She said, I can't believe it. Two, I've never seen that before. What about you? Have you seen it? Stiff kings coming down, one in
How
the
many
trump
cards did you
suit.
have in each of those suits?
We had a nine card fit and we had an off suit that was nine cards as well.
And both times there was a Singleton King. It's certainly against the odds for the Singleton Kings to drop. Most times it won't be Singleton.
In one board.
Well, in any board. It's against the odds any time, yeah. Yeah, if it happened twice, it was definitely your lucky day.
That's something that I've never seen when I've been at the table for them, because you think, oh, should I finish? I was like, oh, bugger it. I'm playing. What are you doing this Saturday? You open homes and you're just going to be watching the team finals? Trials, sorry. Yep.
That'll be an interesting thing to watch, to see who gets in the New Zealand Open team to go to Denmark next year.
Tell me, this open teams trial, how many pairs are they taking? Are they taking six people, or are they just the ones that are actually trialing face-to-face?
I imagine that they would have three pairs going for each. Okay. So the winning team.
And they'll pick Matt Brown and Michael Whibley?
I think they may be going to add, yeah, Matthew Brown and Michael Whibley to the winning team.
That's good.
They haven't actually stated that in the trials notice there, but I think that maybe what is that going to happen. For the other event, I don't know whether Matthew and Michael are available for both. No, I don't know for sure that they are taking them.
Well, maybe that's something we can find out for next week. Hey, I took a picture at the TBA, Tasman Bridge Club Association. I took a picture of a magazine, and look who was in the picture.
Oh, Michael Ware.
Michael Ware, Hugh McGann.
Who else is
Matthew
there?
Matthew McManus. And who's
and
the other
Sartesh,
guy?
Sartesh, is it? Sartesh,
hands, yeah. I thought I'd take it. I'm like, hey, I know those boys. Quite funny to look around as you do. And I tell you what, their trophies, the majority of their trophies are wood, because Tasmania has a lot of native trees. Well, at the Salamanca markets, it's a pretty posh market. It's not like you're going to rock up and get a bargain, because it's not. It's top level. Some of the clothes there, I kid you not, were 400 Australian. Never been to a market in New Zealand where they were like that. It was pretty cool. And a lot of their trophies were actually native wood. And I said, oh, we don't have too many over here that are actually native wood. That's a good idea, I guess, instead of silverware. And we're heading into Barry's tip. Let's see what he's pulled out of his hat.
It's a simple one this week. You'd think that everybody would do it, but you know what? They don't.
What? They don't. Okay.
Remember the bidding, particularly if you're defending. If you're declarer, you probably don't have to remember it so much. Just have to remember what you're in. Although if the opponents bid, it's helpful to remember. When you're defending, particularly if one of the players has bid two suit, you know a lot of their cards. If declarer has bid a heart and followed it up with two diamonds, you know they've got five hearts and four diamonds. You see the dummy, you know that declarer's only got four black cards.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably going to lead one of those suits, and you're quite likely going to find out how many of those they've got.
Yep.
All of a sudden, you're just about to have a full count of the hand of how many cards in each suit declarer's got. Once you've got that, you can look at your hand, and I know a lot of people's eyes are glazing over at the prospect of doing this, but if you know declarer's got five hearts, four diamonds, two spades, and two clubs, and you can look at your hand, and you look at the dummy, guess what the next step is?
Picture what's in partner's hand.
Well, you can tell exactly what the shape of partner's hand is. So that is very helpful when you're defending. But you know what? A lot of players, including me, are too lazy to do it sometimes.
A confession from Mr. Jones.
It's often been said that if you can just count to 13, you can be a good bridge player. But a lot of us think, 13, that's such a long way. And I certainly don't want to do it four times.
Absolutely.
Coming up next, we're heading off to the courthouse. Director, please.
How can I help?
Judge Julie presiding.
G'day, Judge Julie. Nice weather we're having today.
Wonderful.
Nice and hot. Yep. Boy, do we have a doozy today. We need your advice. What happens? And looky, looky, looky. Barry Jones has just joined us.
We think. I think he's got video off. Might have sound off. No. Nope.
Yep, he's gone again. Anyway, we're boxing on. I need your advice on something that happened at the table. Just to make it clear, what happened was, let's say South opened the bidding, West then doubles, North then passes, and East hasn't really come to the party at the moment. They're still looking out the window. They have no idea what's going on because they're too busy doing other things. But then West then points out the bidding to his partner, and says, this is where we're up to. I don't think that's correct, is it, Judgy?
Well, there's things about repeating auctions, but if you have a partner who's being a bit away with the fairies, normally you'd just say your bid partner, right?
Right.
Just something that brings them back to earth and points out that we're all waiting for them, or we're waiting for you. You shouldn't go through the auction because the person can read it themselves. It's not up to the partner of the person to point out what the bids are or anything like that. And there are issues possibly about undue emphasis, but I'll avoid that. When you're asked what the auction is, when you've got to the end of the hand, like we have bidding boxes and the cards go away and someone wants to know the auction, one person says what the auction is and they say all the bids. They do not say the important ones. Or you have one person that answers the question and they say the bids. And that person is a member of the opposing side, not the member of the side that's got the problem. So etiquette in general is not going to be an issue, but every now and then something will happen where it will become an issue and you don't want that to happen. So if someone's asleep at the table, tell them to wake up. If they need to know the auction, the opposing side will give them the auction, not the partner.
Oh, but really?
Yes, really.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
That's good, because I've got a question.
Yep.
I want to know what the last time was your partner got taken away by the fairies, Julie. Were we your teammates at the time?
What are you talking about, Lewis?
Well, she said something about if your partner's away with the fairies, and I wonder whether her partner's got
taken. An answer to the question. I mean, away with the fairies is a good old English and New Zealand saying, so I don't see what the problem is with it.
I didn't have fairies, a problem. I was just wondering what the last time was that happened.
And fairies have very strong winds, so they can take anybody away.
He's only trying to make us laugh because he was late.
I had internet problems that kept on going round and round in little circles. And
that little circle going round, it's bloody annoying, isn't it?
It is. Anyway, hopefully while I was away, you've solved all of Mariana's problems.
I really, really hope so.
Don't go pointing at the bidding. You only have to say it's your bid, partner.
Yep. Just excuse me. We're waiting for you or something like that.
What's the penalty if they do that?
It's sort of dependent on what has been said and how it's been said. I mean, normally with anything like this, you're just going to say you shouldn't do it, right? And everyone continues and everything is fine. Seriously, you shouldn't do it, because if you're telling your partner the auction, things about inflections might change, just stuff changes. And it just to be really comfortable, that is what you should do. It's sort of like people getting up and moving boards around the room. And we have people that are sitting north-south that feel that they have to get up and move the boards to the next table. Now, part of the problem there is there's no real problem with moving the boards to the next table unless at that table you overhear something about a board that you have yet to be played, okay, which doesn't happen very often. But the etiquette of the game helps protect you from people getting upset about things that may happen, not that necessarily have happened. And the laws of bridge find you guilty rather than innocent, because that way when we don't know people or things go wrong, the law will say what happens in these circumstances without us having to make a judgment on people's character, what happened at the table or didn't happen at the table, because the rules are really, really clear. Don't do things that are not correct. The courtesy, the things are there to protect you and your partner and help everybody enjoy the game.
Right. Enjoy the game.
Enjoy the game. That's what we're here for.
But it occurs to me, this thing about trying to alert partners to, you know, bids that have happened, it's a little bit like, say, the opponents open one no trump and their partner bids two diamonds, and you happen to know because you played them last week, that they play something really weird there and that your partner's going to assume that it's a transfer to hearts, and you know that it's, I don't know, minor suit stamen or something. You know, is there any way you can wake partner up to this?
No, you're not allowed to ask questions for the benefit of your partner at all. End of story. Not allowed. Really, really clear. I say I played with my son many years ago, and he decided that if we open one no trump week, that a new suit should be forcing. And it was fun. It was actually very, very effective. But no one was expecting to be natural and forcing. And if you alerted it, no one was expecting it to be natural. So I would alert the bit because it's sort of, at that point, is what your opponents might or might not expect. And I'd say you really want to ask because they really did. It just wasn't something that people played. And when I got caught out, we were playing a multi. I don't play multis, rather, with people I don't play with very often. It's too much system. Too many things can go wrong. And the people I was playing against assumed that two diamonds was a multi because everybody plays a multi. And that was truly unusual because I didn't alert it because it wasn't a multi. So that was an interesting discussion. So lots of stuff happens where people get the wrong end of the stick, but you are not allowed to ask for the benefit of your partner. You don't repeat the auction when your partner wants to know because a member of the opposing side does that. That avoids issues about whether someone might emphasise a bit too much. Okay?
All good.
The rules and the courtesy of the game help protect us against things going wrong, getting upset because things don't go the right way. So all of the stuff that is there that we do helps things to be transparent and everyone's comfortable about what is happening.
And just for our listeners' benefit, even though playing natural and forcing responses over one no trump was effective, it never caught on.
No, it never caught on. Not even with me, okay?
But yes, fun. It would be a lot of fun doing that, wouldn't you?
I was 11 plus or 10 plus or something, and natural and forcing. So it really was. It was good.
All righty, well, that's us.
Okay.
Have a good weekend and keep out of the sun.
Yeah.
Yep.
It'll be hot.
I've got luck to everybody who's playing all weekend to represent New Zealand.
Yes.
Indeed.
The coming weekend.
Four teams playing in it. It'll be something good to watch.
Is it Royal Bridge or BBO?
Well, probably on BBO, I would think.
So we'll be able to have a good look.
We'll see you next week.
Okay, bye.
Well, that's another week done and dusted. Talk to me about the New Zealand mixed team trials. You've got your entry in.
The mixed trials won't be until February next year.
When do the entries close for the mixed teams?
They're still a couple of weeks away, the 18th of December, I believe. It sounds like there's lots of names being bandied around and there could be a lot of teams in the mixed. And this could be a bit of a problem for the selection committee because if they have more than 8 teams, it's going to be really tricky for them to have a suitable format. They've only got like 4 days for them to play off, so they may have to narrow it down to 8 teams if there's more than 8.
Well, that's about it.
So don't forget, if you go to New Zealand Bridge, I'm sure they'll put a link or something on if you want to watch the trials.
Thank you, and take care, everyone. We'll see you at the table.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring Bridge from beginner to international nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.